Okay.
Welcome to episode 63 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrows.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Better still, y'all. They are so appreciative of this awesome audience that check this out. They got a new promo code, pimp. Let's get this right. 20% off with PimpCast20. Yeah, that's your promo code, PimpCast20.
Spell that. Are there any periods?
No. PimpCast20. Hopefully I got that right. That's pretty awesome. So over there, twooldcrows.com. Yeah.
Where you can turn that simp into a pimp.
Pimp. 20% off. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, y'all. So how cool is it to be a member of this audience when you get the best soap out there for 20% off? Also brought to you by EMP Shield. Remember, check out that new micro. $50 off with promo code PERMA. Also, if you need a Harvest Right freeze dryer, we got that all listed in the show notes. Isn't that right, son?
Yeah, everything is listed in the description down below.
Okay, show notes, descriptions. I'm not sure what it is.
Well, I heard Tony say description down below, so he's the professional.
All right, well,
so that's what we'll go with. So I assume it's the description.
So check us out also on the Fountain app, y'all. You can listen to all your podcasts over there. Really, really awesome app. You can triple that speed up the way I do it when you're listening. You know, not every podcast like the Permaculture Pimpcast you're going to want to put on three times the speed. But there's a lot of podcasts. I take in a lot of information in the course of a day, at least when I'm not working on an Earth ship. And, you know, it's really cool when you have those podcasts where you either want to slow up, slow down, and you can also tip a pimp over on the Fountain app.
Yeah, and we also answer a lot of questions on there as well.
Yeah, so, son, you look like you have something on there that you want to talk about.
Guys, call in the voicemail line. If you have good news, if you have just a funny story you want to tell, whatever you want to do, call in the voicemail line. It's 828-380-4419.
If you have a question, anything along that line, we're going to try to expand this. We've only had one person, I think, as of yet do it.
Yeah. So if you guys want to, you guys can be a part of the show if you guys call in.
There you go. Yeah, just keep it clean and kind of keep it brief. Keep it within 30 seconds if you can. If you want to be part of the show, get out there. Look, this show is growing, y'all. And, we're going up the charts. But
if you got something to promote, too.
Well, yeah. I didn't even think about it. Well, be careful about what that promotion may be.
You know. I mean, we can check it before the... We can check it before the episode.
No, my luck, dude. There wound up being some man dancer specializing in nursing homes or something, Who even knows?
This thing transcripts the voicemails.
Well, gotta like that. Yeah. All right, y'all, let's jump straight into it. Tip of the day. All right, well, if you have to, it's okay. You don't necessarily have to track. You don't need a tractor. You don't need any way to hang it. You can gut and skin on a tailgate or tarp if you have to. And we don't have a tractor. We have no way to really lift a pig unless we want to take it out in the woods.
Right. I was going to say, how are you going to get it on the tailgate?
Well, you and I have done it before. Right. And those were 300-pound pigs. But the one we did today, that boar was every bit. He was over four bills. I mean, that guy was well over 400 pounds. And, he's a big boy. And it looks like that meat's going to be really good. I don't think I've ever, I processed a lot of really, really, really big sows, but I don't know that I've gotten a boar quite this big. But remember, if you're out there getting some wild game, or let's say you're in a position where you may have to do a cow, maybe it's a steer, you know, whatever the case may be, all of us seem to think that you have to have a gambrel to hang it up. You don't. If you were, for example, if you were out in the field and you bagged an elk, let's say, or even a moose, something like that, well, you ain't hanging him up. Yeah. Only thing you're going to be hanging it up is, I mean, you're going to pack it out, and sometimes you're not going to be in the most ideal spot. So you can take that same approach to other animals if you need to, especially if you don't have a tractor. Like, we don't have a tractor or any real, well, we have a number of ways to lift it up if we could, but it's just not convenient.
Yeah. Sometimes it just, like, the, you have to take the time audit as well. Like, does it make sense to set up the pulley system to lift this animal, or can we just get four of us to grab a corner?
And that's about how it went. So just remember, you can think outside the box, and you can gut and skin, do it all. Check it out. If you can't lift it up on a tailgate, do it on a tarp.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done it that way many times.
Yeah, we slid it. We slid it around on the tarp today.
Yeah, so we dragged that 400-plus pound. I mean, a good thing we had them on the mountain, on top of the mountain. So yeah, it was basically dragging it down. But yeah, it took all hands on deck to get that one hung up.
And we still need to finish that video as well.
Yeah, so yeah, we're doing a video on that, and we're going to be covering a lot of that kind of stuff more and more now that I'm back. All right, so dipping on in the farm news. Well, we're trying to get things streamlined around here, Sam. What does that mean?
We're getting rid of a lot of stuff. We're getting rid of Coco.
Yeah. He's not going in the freezer. He's going to go over to Ben and Denise at Renewed Homestead. Go check them out.
Yep. We're getting rid of the pigs, as you well know. We just got done talking about that. Are we increasing the flock?
Yes. That's the only thing we're actually,
but
well,
that's not
both
like
flocks, chickens and, well, ultimately it will be.
Well, and sheep. Yeah.
Yeah. Chickens and sheep, both.
But that's not increasing the workload at all.
No. If anything, I guess that would have been better put, that we're actually whittling down our workload to get to the point where we can actually go foot to butt on some serious building around here.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an earth ship. So we have got to clear the slate.
Well, Dad, I didn't think we were announcing that yet.
Well, I think it's been well implied. I mean,
well, and we implied it. We didn't say it officially.
Well, I guess it just officially got said the idea is
PimpCast is first to know.
Okay. Well, I mean, well, the thing is we've kind of talked about this internally, but it's going to be a go. I mean, barring some weird calamity, Russian nukes, whatever the case may be.
Which is still the best structure to have.
Yeah. I think I'd rather be in that thing than anything else if something like that were to jump off. I mean, the idea is we have got to streamline a lot of things around here. We have a lot going on. We're producing content in Patreon. We put a lot of good stuff over there. We do it in YouTube. We also do it, obviously, in the podcast realm.
Yeah.
And if we're going to monitor, if we're going to chronicle every bit of this, we have got to, well, first of all, cows are not what we love most around here. It's sheep. So why not raise more of what we absolutely love? And, you know, I mean, if it came down to like cows, man, I guarantee I could trade enough sheep
right
to get everything I would on a good cow, you know?
And also sheep just do better here. They're just better inclined to do, like, we have steep terrain. We have really steep terrain and it rains a lot here. Like, that Coco still slides around.
Yeah, here and there. It's been a scary proposition here and there, but we wanted to see just how well a Dexter would do in this environment, and they can handle it.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. And then you're always wondering, I mean, when he goes trotting down these hills, okay, is he going to break a leg? Is he going to do this? With sheep, that's not even a concern. And if you get the right stock, you know, and plus, honestly, I just absolutely love the meat.
Yeah.
More than anything on a hair sheep. So it seems silly to sit here and grow a bunch of meat. We can trade any day of the week for beef, but it's kind of hard. I mean, nobody's going to really trade for sheep unless, right. I mean, it's so doggone expensive, and it's really good stuff. So that's exactly why we're streamlining so many things around here to get set up to be able to do what it is we're trying to do. I know the world seems like it's falling apart, y'all, but we're going to keep pushing ahead, and here's the reasons why. Our preparedness is on lock. Would you agree?
Yeah, but also here's a little ray of hope. We are sending the Abrams over.
Oh.
But eventually, like in due time.
Yeah.
We got to take the armor
off. Take
off
the reactive armor, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So there's a ray of hope. That's going to delay World War III and the dust pile.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you can't be sitting here living your life. You know, all of us hear all of this bad news every single day, and that's why we have a good news segment. But we are absolutely to the point where, once our preparedness, it can always improve. No, you're not going to ask anybody who's into preparedness, oh, have you arrived? They're never going to tell you yes, ever.
Yeah, because then they discovered homesteading.
Yeah.
And that doesn't stop.
No, it never stops. So we're just streamlining it. I mean, obviously, eggs being what they are, I got a story about that that's real interesting. Eggs being what they are, okay, we know how to expand the flock, both flocks, and that's exactly what we're going to focus on. And then once we get everything built the way we want, We're kind of leaning back to that infrastructure part. Once we get everything built the way we want, then we'll go ahead and pimp everything out in terms of all the animals that we'd like, whether it's rabbits and maybe cows, maybe on a piece of land that we acquire, maybe next to us or otherwise.
Maybe some pigeon.
Okay.
Some squab.
Yeah, you go ahead and eat all that squab. Yeah, you. What are you, one of them highfalutin British types?
I might be.
Yeah.
No, so, but they, I might be selling it to those people.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, people will pay a fortune for these sheep, but there's a big, big thing also with these sheep. I mean, there's a bunch of different stuff. I don't want to get on that topic and go too deep, but that's exactly what direction we're going. And seeing the signs of the times, also, there's a tactical reason for that. You know, you hear a cow all up and down this valley.
They
this
talk mountain. To each other.
Yeah. So
that's not tactical.
Right. So they're making all the noise in the world. Well, we could easily hide sheep or goats or whatever else up in that thicket. And those are real concerns right now. So that's exactly what... That's exactly the direction in which we're going. We're trying to streamline things so we can do other things that we need to do. But, man, I'll tell you what, that big pig today, we got him down and got him broke down into primals. And believe me, that took some time, man. We
good
finally,
clean shot.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, it was a really easy death.
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly
awesome.
It's exactly the way it ought to go. And it usually, 9 times out of 10, goes that way. But there's going to be times, you know, if I don't think about it, if I go in there and use my subconscious, I get a perfect shot every time. The second you start trying to think about it too much, and then bam, next thing you know, I mean, when you're sitting here shooting a 410 hollow point slug in its head,
yeah.
I mean, it's not going to do it. You can get a bad shot and still make it happen.
That one pig that got shot in the head with the 410, he like shrugged it off that first time.
Well,
remember
he didn't shrug.
That?
No, he was dead. He was just like, dead on his feet.
Was weird.
No, because if he was hurt and he knew it, believe me, I've seen him run around before.
And he did just freeze there.
Yeah.
He just stood there.
Yeah, he just stood there. He's like, okay, I think I'm done, but you know, I'm gonna make you take another shot.
Pigs are strong.
Yeah, they are. But man, if you get that good shot, if you take it, you know, it always works out pretty good if you get it right. All right, well, I'm still in the mode of trying to get caught up around here after being gone for 3 weeks at that Earthship build. And I'm slowly getting back there, but I got this lingering headache, man. It took me like 2 days to kind of get hydrated again. It was the craziest thing just to try to get, like, I had always thirsty the entire time for 2 solid days. And now I got, I don't know, some pinched nerve. I'm going to have to go see the chiropractor and have him do the once-over on me. Well, speaking about the once-over, son, how is everything going with... Okay, first of all, describe this 75 hard and tell everybody what you're doing. You've been doing the power list.
Yep.
You're doing the 75 hard. How's that rolling out for you?
Good. So far... Hold on. I can tell you what day I'm on.
16.
I'm not on day 16. I think I'm on day 18, Dad. You're trying to jip me of 2 days? 2 hard-earned days, Dad?
Okay.
You're trying to steal 2 days from
handle
me.
Handle your bietas.
I'm on day 18. It's challenging. The most challenging part, I think today was the most challenging day because I'm still not done with it. And it's 8:14 and we're recording a podcast just now. And I still have to do my outdoor workout. And it's January, so you know it's dark out. So I'm probably going to have a headlamp on walking up. Or maybe not. I don't know if the moon's out yet or not. But
if it is, it doesn't matter because there's a lot of clouds up there.
There's that too. So, yeah. I might have to have a flashlight out there, but I still have to do my outdoor workout. I like it. It's teaching me discipline, which is the whole point of this 75 hard. Like one of my issues, and I think it might be a common issue with a lot of people, is like if there's something I don't want to do, I just like flat out won't do it. And this is teaching me to do the things that I don't want to do. Like I do not want to go outside and do 45-minute outdoor workout after recording
a
podcast.
But the pain of failure.
But I am not about to. I earned 18 days. I am not about to restart because I didn't feel like doing a 45-minute workout. I can just listen to a podcast for 45 minutes and walk up the steep driveway.
Yeah.
And then turn up the volume when I start huffing and puffing.
There you go. I'm proud of you, son. I think in the future we ought to talk about the whole impetus of what you told me and your mom a while back as to why you thought you needed to do this. And I think it's a great idea. I hope to kick it off soon myself. I'm just trying to get a few pieces in order in terms of things around here before I actually kick it off myself. But
honestly, it really helps that, I mean, that I have everybody here helping me. Everybody has been very, because I've been very grumpy some days, and you guys have been very patient with me, and I appreciate that. And you guys, I mean, mom's cooking high protein meals, I'm sure, just because I have to eat 250 grams a day. Dad is doing extra work like today just so I could get my indoor workout today at jiu-jitsu. He did extra work with the pork, and I appreciate that. And that makes everything easier for me. Well, and that's a benefit that a lot of people don't do. And that's a benefit I'm going to have to take into consideration on the second round of 75 hard.
Well, that's exactly why I was like, yeah, I could use your help, but you know, you had to go get rocks for the driveway and stuff like that. And I knew you're trying to do this, and I'm not trying to make your burden any harder. And I'm thinking, okay, I got a lot of stuff I'm trying to do too with this pig, and we got to process it, and it's going to somebody else. So, you know, I'm just proud of you taking the time to do this, because I think, you know, the difference in that program and military training, the big difference to me is somebody is making you do it to a certain extent in the military. Yeah, it takes intestinal fortitude and, you know, in some of the classes and schools you go to. But by and large, you know, you got somebody ramrodding you. It's this you're your own drill sergeant right now.
Yeah.
So
it's also that inner voice. The thing I'm fighting is that inner voice that tells me, oh, you can just do that later, or you can just put that off, or whatever. Or, oh, you've done this long enough now, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like this is fighting that inner voice. And every time I hear that inner voice, which also certain comments will start to like irritate you after a while, like comments like take a break or take it easy, like it just instantly like makes you mad, because that's the inner voice that you're hearing inside, and now you're hearing it outside. So it changes your perspective on a few different things, but also you can't take it out on everybody, because like they don't know. They're just concerned about your well-being.
Yeah, and in some cases, outside of this place, I mean, there are people that do want to see you fail in certain things. I mean, that's usually, I've seen that sort of thing more in a work site, or, you know, among your so-called buddies or whatever the case may be. It'll be a case of misery loves company, and everybody wants you to do well as long as you're not doing better than they are. You know, that's what it comes down to a lot of times.
Y'all, on those wood splitting shorts, the reason I'm using a 3 or 4 pound splitting maul, whatever the size that is, it's the point of it is a workout, not because I'm trying to be as efficient as possible with the log splitting. I mean, like that log that took 27 strokes.
Yeah, I saw that. Like,
that was all kinds of knotted.
Yeah, but
it's a workout.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's not a workout program. It's a mental toughness program.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm looking forward to doing it myself. I mean, I just needed, like I said, I'm trying to get a few things in order. I wanted to start with this power list, feel competent at it. And frankly, on that power list, man, I've had several days of failure. Today is a failure. I was supposed to get out there and do bone sauce and, you know, didn't do it. I mean, it's a high disappointment for me. But man, when I'm out here, I'm thinking,
But that's an uncontrollable thing.
Yeah, but it's still, at the end of the day, I'm thinking, okay, everybody and the great-grandmother is asking for bone sauce. Man, for crying out loud, we got this guy asking for an entire pallet
bone sauce. I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that's an issue with necessarily how you planned your day. I think that's an issue with what you wrote on your power list. Because, Dad, you have a tendency of over-planning for the day. Like, you are very optimistic about what we can accomplish in a day.
I am the world's worst estimator. No doubt about that. I am the world's worst estimator, and I will own that. All right, so, you know, I'm still unpacking some of these lessons from my Earthship build, and I got a bunch of pictures and this and that. And that's still going to be, I'm hoping this weekend sometime I can actually unpack that a bit more and get down to brass tacks. But right now, the number one thing is streamlining everything on the homestead. And maybe we'll talk about maybe get more into YouTube videos and talk about that, because,
yeah.
And that's what we're going to try to do more of, is more podcasts and maybe less videos, because frankly, YouTube, Okay, speaking of YouTube videos, I mean, I guess everybody and the great grandmother's wanting me to address this thing I did the other day.
Hey, just accept the fact that this podcast is going to be out of order.
Well, yeah.
We're 20 minutes in, and we haven't hit a single, we did the tip of the day.
I'll try to be as brief as I can manage in this. You know, I do find it curious, and we've talked before about how YouTube, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, that's, if you're talking fear, okay, top of the line, top of the list. We're going to put you out there. If it looks like it's going to be drama, same thing. I do find it curious that as of right now at this recording, like 26,000 people watched that video where I gave an apology and it was blown up immediately.
Yeah.
And I mean, it goes to show you that the powers that shouldn't be that control Google, obviously, YouTube and all those other things, if they can promote mayhem, that's exactly what they want to do. But that whole video, just briefly kind of get into it. Folks, I'm sure a lot of the people that listen to this podcast obviously watch the videos. And I will tell you this straight, and I'm not going to keep going on about it. I said what I had to say. I was honest. In fact, son, would you agree that I was more than charitable?
Yeah, there's just a lot left out, but a lot of it doesn't need to be like said to you guys as well. Like a lot of it is just, I mean,
I'll put it this way. What we know, what I said there was probably five times more charitable than I should have been.
Well,
or could have been.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, to leave a little.
There's just like, this is what involved you guys. That's what we're apologizing for. There's a lot outside of this that really, I mean, y'all don't need to know about.
There is that.
Yeah.
But I will say that every opportunity was given to set things right himself. It aggravated me that I even had to make that video because I was like, okay, are you going to address this? Are you going to address this over and over and over again? And the last thing I wanted to do, and I hit him up repeatedly about doing this, and I guess he thought I was kidding around. I was like, dude, if you don't address this, I have to, and I'm going to denounce you. So that's exactly how it went down. And like William said, there's a great many other things that don't necessarily involve anything on YouTube, but there's a reason we've kind of distanced ourselves over the past several months.
Right, guys. And like with your guys' comments, we really do need to be praying for him. And he's not beyond redemption. He can set things right. He can still set things right.
Well, that's exactly why I left the door open.
Yeah.
That's exactly
you did.
Why
and I didn't. You did leave the door open. But here's one thing I did notice on the analytics of that video. Everybody dropped off before, like right whenever you started saying like he was, like right when there was positive news, like he, not even positive news, but hope. Like right when there was hope for Justin, like he can turn things around and fix things and put things right. That's when people stopped watching. That's exactly when people stopped watching.
Well, that sure is sad and it's curious, but I sure find it funny that 26,000 people will watch that, but you won't watch how to process your own animal and I'm not critical necessarily of the people here. I know that a lot of people are going to tune in the drama, but at the end of the day, you know, that the honest thing was I left the door open. I could have slammed it shut, and frankly, most people would have. I honestly believe in given the same circumstances in so many different ways, that wasn't my intent. The entire intent was to get him to do what's right, because there are a lot of people out there that spend a lot of money, us being one of them. And I'm sick and tired of getting emails about this thing, trying to address it with him and him being dismissive of it.
You know what, Dad? I think we need to hear a word from Pastor Lon.
All right.
The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I think this scripture is very plain and clear that if we want Christ to grant us forgiveness, we must continually forgive our neighbor who trespasses against us, whether it's intentional or not. And remember this, a grudge is a heavy burden to carry. Most of the time when you grant forgiveness, it's for you rather than the other person. It makes you free from that burden.
Perfectly stated. And there are no grudges, certainly on my part. Disappointment, irritation, yeah, but definitely no grudges. I've always been really, honestly, kind of bad at that because I've never really held grudges against anybody. And so, you know, I kind of wind up down the repeat road sometimes. Like I said, there's no grudges out there as far as I'm concerned. I'm just...
He's not beyond... Like, he can fix this. He just needs to fix this.
Yeah. Well, we'll get...
I really hope he does. And guys, the people who are offering to come down and help and put things into production are awesome. Like the New York redneck, he commented, he's like, hey, I'm free till April 1st. I'll come down and help. There was one Ark and Sparks welding something. He's like, hey, any metal fabrication I can do, I can come and help. Like, there are people here willing to help. And I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if it's fear that's, I don't know.
Son, those offers have been made months ago.
I know.
And by multiple people that I personally know. So it's certainly not for lack of hands and stuff like that. There's a number of other issues going on, and I'm not going to belabor that. So we're going to jump right into the bad news, good news section. All right, check this out.
We just did.
Well, yeah, I thought long and hard, like, okay, that's kind of the bad news, but hopefully it turns into good news, but we'll just jump right into it. All right, does this seem like a coincidence? Massive fire destroys commercial egg farm belonging to top U.S. supplier. Huh, how about that? Another accidental fire, son. And this one here from Tyler Durden, he's from Zero Hedge. Dozens of food processing plants were destroyed and or damaged over the last year in record numbers, by the way. This has never happened in the history of humanity that we know of. Well, this one here required about 100 firefighters. And this farm in Basra, Connecticut, Saturday afternoon, basically another one wiped out. Like, the egg production wasn't already bad enough.
Yeah, I mean, how many things that's gotta be intentional, y'all.
I mean, there's no possibility at this. It is an impossibility. I'm not a coincidence. You may call me a conspiracy theorist, but I'm definitely not a coincidence theorist. So anyway, here we go. You know, got another one that accidentally just burns down. I guess they just had that a coming, huh? Yeah.
Like, these are just super flammable. I remember whenever these would only burn down when militant vegans would come by.
Yeah. But we got these.
Yeah.
Dude, this
reminds- And it was a pandemic when 20, they hit like 26 in the South, 26 of those Tyson houses in the South. There's a whole 60 Minutes thing about it or something.
Yeah, they're going to tell us now that what these eggs got, like they were feeding them nitroglycerin or something, and they just self-combusted it. I mean, come on. Every time we turn around, y'all, this is why we do what we do. This is why we talk about permaculture preparedness. You better be thinking this, and you better be teaming up. And look, y'all, I remember posting it on freesteading.com the other day where I'm saying, look, okay, you want to insulate yourself from this so-called feed at Tractor Supply? You want to not worry about your eggs or any of that stuff? Well, guess what? The information's already been provided. And what do we call that thing? Chicken tractor on steroids. That's what I'm talking about.
That was cool. We didn't plan that.
No, we never do. No, just simpatico, man. So look, I mean, the solutions are out there, y'all. They are trying to starve you out. Go ahead, all you want. Go ahead, call me conspiracy theorist. And to you, I'm going to call you a coincidence theorist. There is no point at this time that anybody is going to convince me that this is an accident. It's not.
Yeah.
But just like the great, well, Eric Sider did a video about this the other day. The problem is the solution.
Yeah.
Okay, the problem is, what is the problem? Okay, they're starving you out. They're trying to. I mean, eggs are through the doggone roof and are only going to get higher. There's
what's
$10
the solution?
Solution is right there in front of you. Grow your own chicken.
Get a garden and get chickens. They work very well together.
Get a garden, get chickens, get relationships, not only with the other people around you, but also in the future. I plan on going back to this bakery where they're friends of mine, and we're going to talk about how we have this this symbiotic relationship, this mutualistic relationship where you got an electrical problem. Okay, I'll take care of it. Well, guess what? Guess who do you think gets all their organic food scraps? Every single bit of it, if they want, it's me.
You sound like some waste management mafioso.
That's exactly what it is. Hey, you got my food. You got my eggs. Yeah, you know,
I need to film a video with Ginger.
Yeah, I'll put her on my lap and I'll do a Godfather thing. You know, I would like to thank the heads of the five bakeries for giving me all the food scraps I need for these birds. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, but the point being is that the problem is really the solution in this case. I mean, I'm twisting it in a different way that it was never intended, but I think you get the point.
Yeah.
All right, good news. I'm going to talk about this one again because it really is good news, son. Saturday, March 4th, pig processing with the Hollers, 15% off with promo code PIMP, P-I-M-P, and that's at Farm Where You Live. It's going to be at the Red Dutch Barn in Greer, South Carolina.
And that's going to be linked in the description as well.
That's right. Ben Holler and Meg Holler are going to be out there, you know, laying it down.
You're going to be out there too.
Yeah, but I'm just
you're helping.
Yeah, I'm just going to be, I'm not one of the instructors per se. I'm just basically, I'm doing whatever Ben tells me to do. I'm just out there assisting him whatever he needs, you know, because I know everything. I know the process. He's the one in charge, and I'm basically, hey, go get me a knife. You know, I'm right. That kind of guy. You know, I mean, I'll do whatever he asks, whatever he needs.
There's a lot of background work to be done by somebody who knows what they're doing.
It helps
if you're teaching.
Yeah, it helps. And just like Ben has gone out of his way. I mean, dude, he literally.
Yeah, dude,
what I did to him at that last one, man, I couldn't. I had to buy him, Meg, and the boys lunch, man. Because
I gave
of
him
that.
A knife.
Dude,
that's where the knife giveaway, the first idea for knife giveaway started.
You gave Ben a knife?
I gave Ben a knife, yeah.
Dude, he showed up the next day. I asked him, I mean, dude, on a whim, dude, he just came out and helped me. I mean, when you know, when I talk about building relationships, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, just like that, man, I said, hey, there's Ben Holler. You want to come over here and help? Because I knew he knew how to, you know, I knew he knew his way around a pig.
Yep.
And so he got over there, did it like the pro he is. And I'm like, okay, man, this dude really saved my bacon on this one because that one wasn't going well. The other guy that was doing it was, it just wasn't working out. And Ben showed up and saved the day. So if I can go down there and be assistance to them, man, like I said, he's squared away. He knows his stuff and he's an autodidact. So you're going to be glad you went. So the good news in all this is everybody and the great grandmother has been hitting me up every other day, it seems, whether it's on YouTube or whether it's in private messages, whatever the case may be. You know, they're always asking, hey, when's the next one? I missed the last one. Well, here it is.
Yep.
And you're going to be taught by Ben, and he's going to do a fantastic job, and you're going to be glad you were there. All right, so this is a little article, son. This was, okay, y'all, keep the laughter to a minimum, but there's a reason I'm bringing this thing up. All right, so... This one is from Natural News, and I've been hearing a lot about this lately, and it's about urotherapy and the healing success stories that are flooding TikTok. And obviously, a lot of people are asking whether or not it works. I guess, first off, you're asking, what is urotherapy?
Okay,
as disgusting as it may sound, it's basically, apparently for a long, long time, certain cultures in this world have been using urine to heal a lot of things, whether it's to regrow hair or wounds or...
they've been drinking it, y'all.
Yeah, and they've been doing it. Well, they've been
using it. Let's just get to the point. That's what they've been doing.
Well, they've been doing that, and they also been using it topically, and some people swear by this thing. Now, have I done it? Nope. I'm going to have to be in a bad way, nephew, for me to ever try something like that. But
look, like stage 4 cancer, and then we'll try it for sure.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah. What some of the Dr. Edward Group, man, he's really been talking a lot about this here lately. And that's exactly what a lot of people were doing. I mean, people that had unknown diseases or diseases, cancers, you name it. And he makes a pretty convincing case that this stuff is really, really working. So I'm throwing this out there for a couple of reasons, because I know a lot of people are suffering. A lot of people are having, maybe if they may not even say it out loud, maybe they're having some level of regret regarding some of the decisions they've made as of late. And maybe this is a solution to some of that. Is it? I don't know. But Dr. Group makes some pretty astounding arguments as to why we ought to at least consider this thing. So
yeah, so check out urotherapy.
Yeah,
y'all.
Check it out. Look
one
into
thing,
it.
Now, I will say one I have, okay, when I first heard about urotherapy, I had never really heard about it before. I thought it was kind of a weird, like, fetish that people had. I didn't think that was, like, a medical thing. But ever since then, I keep hearing about things that, like, okay, so they're training ants to detect cancer in urine.
Right.
Like dogs can smell cancer in urine and stuff like that. Like apparently diabetes can be smelled as well. Like they're detecting all these things in urine, but maybe I don't know. Maybe there is something associated with urine and the cure.
There might be. Well, Dr. Group says all the antibodies and for every illness you have is right there. I mean,
yeah.
He and a number of others, I mean, there's a lot of Indian doctors out there. I don't want to belabor this too much, but I wanted to kick it out there just mostly because I know a lot of people are in a bad way regarding some medical decisions they might have made as of late. And I'm talking everything, the whole gamut, not just the jab. I'm talking, is this a solution? I don't know. I thought I would stick it out there, have you go look it up for yourself. I mean, I am by no means an expert. I just keep hearing about it a lot. But not in the same way that you hear about all the time. Every time you turn around, every hipster is a stoic. You and I were talking about it today. Yeah. You know, there were three main stoics of that time, but they always talk about Marcus Aurelius. So I was thinking, okay, is this another fad? Is this another trend? I don't know. All I know is that I think it I think it's worth examining. You know, like I said, it's not going to be something I'm looking for. You know, it's not. I'm not going to put urine in the medicine cabinet, you dig? But it might be worth examining. I'm just going to leave it right there. All right, y'all, when we get back to it, we're going to get right into the main topic. Slow gin, slow gin, trying to wash away the pain. Well, I'm sick and I'm all done. Oh, yes. Some of that bad bottom masa. That's what I'm talking about.
That one's called slow gin if you didn't get the
It's
the
a
lyrics.
Jam. Look, if it's bottom masa, it's a jam. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, that's one thing that was cool, man. I remember speaking to Ben Holler a little while ago. When we were driving his kids home, dude, I was like, you know, man, I love his kids, man. They're just so unbelievably smart and intelligent, well-mannered, kind, just good-hearted kids all the way around. And when we were coming back from that butchery over there and they had had that accident, and the kids, the boys were driving with me, and we were in the truck driving back. What was it, 2 a.m? Yeah. I don't know.
It wasn't that late. Well, that's probably when we got back. Yeah. I think we got back at like 12.
It was a long day.
Yeah, it was a long day.
Sure. Well, I usually listen to podcasts 99% of the time, but I wasn't sure what they would be okay with those boys listening to. So I'm like, okay, let me put on some music. And I'm trying to stay awake, and the boys are wide awake. And I'm like, man, let me just put on something. First thing, you know, pops up in my phone is going to be Bonamassa. Man, they weren't two bars in, and those boys were saying, hey, is that Bonamassa? I was like, what? How do these little boys know who Joe Bonamassa is, man? That's what I'm talking about.
Well, they probably had a better ride than you, because I just talked Ben, Meg, and their baby off about like Bigfoot aliens and all that stuff.
Oh, well, I know Ben probably he dug that. Yeah. Anyway, that was that. Yeah. I always think good things when I think of Bonamassa. Good music.
Main topic.
All right. No need to be an expert, y'all. Just be competent. Here's why I'm saying this. I get a lot of comments, as always, about, hey, I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I haven't had this training. So what? Give it a shot. Look, you don't need to be an expert. And look, I'm going to just openly tell you right now, somebody may view me as an expert regarding this and that and homesteading, or maybe homesteading in general. I'll be the first to tell you that I am not. I'm not an expert in anything, but I'm pretty competent in a lot of things.
Right. Well, this falls hand in hand with my jiu-jitsu coach today. He said he was talking to the class and he was saying, like, you don't need to, like, I can't teach you every single detail of a move. I can show you how to do the move. You do the move. It fails. You show me why it failed and we can build it from there. Like, we can tweak it from there. Like, you need to know how to do it. Get competent first. Try it. If it's failing in certain areas, tweak it and then adjust from there. And then you become the expert.
Well, it's like a guy said a while back, not everything can be taught, but everything can be learned.
Right.
And, okay, so what degree, there was a thing I saw on a TED Talk a while back where somebody said you had to have 2,000 hours to be competent. That's what generally everybody believes. Yeah. Or 10,000 hours.
10,000, yeah.
Well, he proved That is absolutely absurd. I wish, I'm sure I can find it again. I'll have to go looking for it.
Naheen Patel
I don't remember his name. And no, it wasn't anything like that. I think it was an English guy. Oh. Anyway, he was playing. He had talked about all the things that he had learned, not by being an expert, but by being competent. And he was playing a ukulele, I think, as his little, like his proof. Like, hey, I've been practicing this for, I don't know, maybe it was 40 hours or whatever. And he learned how to do a song. Well, was he competent? Yeah, some would say he was. Was he an expert? By no means. But this goes right back to what we were talking about, where you farm like a mixed martial artist trains.
Right.
Or like somebody in jiu-jitsu trains. Or you have all these different feathers under your cap as a homesteader, as a permaculture designer, as a farmer. And you take the right dog to the hunt when you have this list of things you can do. So if I have a pasture out here, I'm thinking, what would work better right now? Do I want to do high density grazing? Do I want to do, you know, you have several different types of grazing based on what your needs may or may not be.
Or depending on the season, you might switch it up depending on the season of grazing.
Or you're thinking, somebody was telling me, hey, I just got out of the Matrix. Not telling me, they wrote to me. I just got out of the Matrix and, you know, I don't know anything about this, this, and this. Is there anything you can possibly tell me before I start getting gardening? And I'm like, or better still, are there any books you could recommend before I get gardening? I'm like, yeah, there's a bunch of them, but don't let that stop you from gardening. If you go out there and throw a bunch of seeds out in a random field, that is gardening to a certain extent.
Yeah, go get a pack of seeds. There's instructions on the back.
There you go. Yep. Start there. You're not going to have it perfectly. You're not going to be Elliot Coleman overnight.
Yeah.
You're not going to be Jeff Lawton overnight, and you're probably never going to be. But it doesn't have to, you don't have to be an expert at anything. Like so many, okay, prime example. We taught a butchery class and we were just talking about Shelly from twooldcrows.com. Remember that PimpCast 20 is going to get you 20% off. So tell them what happened. They sat through our butchery class down there and what happened when they got home?
So they sat through the butchery class. They got home, which I think was about, they stayed the night. They had to get a hotel. So it was quite a bit of a drive, like maybe 6 hours or so. They got home and then found out that a pig had impaled itself on a T-post somehow. Like it didn't make any sense. So they have to like hurry up and process it. And they're thinking, well, we don't know how long it's been here, but it doesn't stink. And like we could save it for dog meat and stuff. So they took exactly what they learned at that class and took the opportunity to practice immediately after they just took the class.
Okay, were they experts?
No. But they did a fantastic job. Shelly has an impressive memory.
Dude, her memory is, I'm telling you what, boy, you let her be at a crime. She should have been a crime scene investigator, dude. Nobody would be getting away with anything.
But if she didn't have access to a processor, and she needed to process a pig to feed her own family, they could definitely do it.
Absolutely.
Because they're competent at it. They're not an expert at it. They're not going to be Frenching out any pork chops, but like...
you don't have to.
No, you don't have to.
This is exactly why when I do butchery classes, I tend to lean towards strictly homestead butchery, where it's like the basic things, just like you would in a high-end butcher shop. I was taught by Michelin star chefs, you know, or former Michelin star chefs, or worked in Michelin star restaurants, better yet. The point being is that, you know, you learn to dribble before you slam a basketball. So you get competent at first at just being able to dispatch the animal. Then you move into, okay, if you're going to gut it and skin it, you're going to need to know how to do that.
Yeah.
Or whether you're going to scrape it, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, if you turn that whole animal in the grind, if it weighs, it pays.
Yep. You can turn the whole, turn everything red into sausage.
Well, here's my concern. And I'm glad you brought that up because there have been times in the past where we have butchered old sows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you what, it's like when you work with an old sow, I was worried about these boars out here because they weren't quite as old, you know, they weren't years and years old like some of these sows. No. When you work with an animal that old, the only thing you can do when you have a really old sow and a really big sow is pretty much turn the whole thing into grind.
Yeah.
I mean, you might.
Does it taste any different?
No, the taste, the flavor isn't changed at all. If anything, it's richer that way.
But yeah, that makes sense.
That's because, I mean, there's this one chef, man, in Scandinavia somewhere, he will not process any cows that are not like 10 years old.
Okay, Scandinavian taste buds, though. Okay. If y'all are from there, then I'm sorry, but I heard about some of y'all's dishes. Like, there's this tin, this round tin of fish.
Yeah, yeah, we can go sideways on that whole thing, but the point being is that when your knives aren't working on an animal that old, you're going to have to go with plan B. And plan B is the grinder. Yep. So the only thing we were able to salvage off these really big sows whenever we would do them in the butcher shop is that they were just going to have to be grind. Well, who doesn't love sausage? I guarantee you it's going to be a richer flavor when it's an older animal like that, just like it is with an old bird. But the point I'm getting at is you don't have to be an expert in any part of this. Fail while daring greatly, like we say all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't care what the discipline is on your farm, whatever the case may be. Now, when it comes to building projects, you're going to probably want a little bit of training before you go putting up a house you're going to trust.
Yeah, you might want to go volunteer somewhere for free.
Yeah, you can do that. And then you could do the same exact thing in some of the things I was talking about, whether, you know, animal management. There is so much awesome information right there. If you were starting from scratch right now, you could learn just about every single thing you need to know from competent YouTube channels.
Yeah. Yeah, you really could.
You know, I read all of Greg Judy's books, and you know what? There is not one thing he withholds in his videos. In fact, it's even better. If you read his books and then you watch his videos on YouTube, you're going to be like, oh my goodness, man, it's not like he's holding anything back. This stuff is not proprietary. I mean, like, okay, some people would call us the world's foremost experts in the chicken tractor on steroids. Yep. Jeff Lawton obviously invented it, but we've probably worked in that system, to my knowledge, more than anybody else on the planet.
Right.
And I'm sure Jeff would probably give us a nod with some of the things that we've discovered, things that we've tweaked, things that we've changed, whatever the case may be. It's still his intellectual property, but we've advanced it in the way that made sense for our circumstance.
Yeah.
We had to. And which, by the way, I mean, I can't think of a better system to be evangelizing right now when everybody's struggling with eggs and everything else.
Yeah.
But the point of it being,
especially if you get eggs for free.
Yeah.
Out of that.
Absolutely. I didn't start off in that system. I had three. When I learned this system, I had three different chicken tractors, each with 30 birds a piece. And I was working all three of them all by myself just to figure out how to do it. Now, was I an expert? No. But I did give myself leverage for failure because there was a whole lot of that. But sticking with it, I learned, okay, I need to tweak the compost this way. Okay, I shouldn't have done this.
We also started with chickens first, though. Just regular chickens, though.
Yeah.
We didn't start with the chicken tractor on steroids.
Well, we were already pretty competent with chickens to begin with. So maybe, if you're starting off with chickens, you better first, that's a good point, son. Yeah. Don't start with a recipe. Learn how to get good at knowing how to deal with chickens and then kick it on up to the chicken tractor. If you already deal with chickens and you're thinking, okay, man, this feed stuff, I don't know what to do with that. Well, you don't need to be an expert. Just go out there and get competent.
Yep.
And I don't care what it is. And frankly, you're going to have losses. So if you're thinking, oh, shoot, something might die. Look, it's going to, even if you do everything right, things are going to die.
Yeah, you can't really control that. There are just going to be accidents on the farm.
I mean, we had an accident where a pig fell off the side of a cliff.
Yep.
We came back and he had a broken femur.
Yeah.
And to this day, I still don't know how that pig got over that. I don't know how it happened. Y'all, this is like a mystery.
We can't talk about that. No, but that's so squeamish.
Well, I know, but the point being is that you are going to have losses, so you might as well get your head around it. And you're going to have freak things that you don't understand. You're going to have a hawk come out of nowhere, wipe out half your flock sometimes.
You're going to come back to feathers.
Yeah. Or you're going to have, it'll be a case like, oh, goodness. I mean, okay, so say your chicken door, you don't check it. You rely on it a little bit too much. And let's say the batteries die on you. Well, that door is wide open. Guess what? Possum got up in there, wiped them out. I mean,
We have an egg crisis and they wiped out all your hens.
Well, that's why two is one and one is none. That's why you want multiple flocks.
And you can't even blame militant vegans this time.
Nope, can't do it. But the point being is that you don't have to be an expert in anything. There is not a single discipline in homesteading. If that's holding you back, then you are making a colossal, colossal mistake right now. Or thinking that, hey, I live in an apartment. I don't have the opportunity. Yes, you do. You can go out there and guerrilla garden.
Yep.
And one great example of it was Robert out there when I was in Arizona.
Yeah,
talking about what he did.
His channel's name is, if you want to see it, his channel's name is Bobbert Kronos.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Subscribe myself. So check him out. I mean, there's a lot of awesome people doing a lot of awesome stuff, but the competency, there's so many people that I'm hearing from right now that are thinking like, I can't do this until I get this training. Yeah, you can. It's probably best if you're going to process a, you can walk your way through it with a chicken. Yeah. It's probably best. I mean, you could even do it with a pig if you feel comfortable with weapons.
Well, I did it with a lamb while you were gone that one time. We had that one lamb that was going down, and I shot it and processed it and had to follow a YouTube video and all that, and it sucked.
Yeah. I hadn't yet had you trained.
Get somebody to follow. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you had to do YouTube University to get through that because I hadn't yet trained you on it. I hadn't had a chance to get you squared away and all those things, but you did a fine job. At the end of the day, folks, if you're using any of this stuff as an excuse to not get hopping and popping in this, you're making a colossal mistake. All right. Yeah, more of that Bonamassa, man. I think we ought to do an all Bonamassa for a whole month, man.
Good. Okay. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah. Well, hold on. What?
Too bad.
It's the end of this month, eh?
Yeah, I'm
How
just
you
saying.
You start it at the end of the month.
No, I'm all saying, right,
so for like, this is the episode, y'all. This is the Bonamassa episode.
Okay, I guess this will be. No, I'm just kind of throwing that out there. All right, so we're going to the Q&A section here. And, okay, so I got one from James here. And I get a lot of articles sent to me. I'm sorry, y'all. There's some people that had some good news stuff in here, and I'll try to get to it the next time out. I was late getting to it. Like I said, I've been butchering pigs all day. But this one, basically, he's echoing what I've heard, I think, from Mike Adams and a number of others that now, oh, good night, man. This one came from Christianity Daily, where they're putting the COVID vaccines in vegetables. And, of course, Mike Adams reported that they're now going to be shooting up cows and everything else. So,
wow.
I mean, it's going to be these mRNA things that they're sticking in everything. You know, they're gonna make you take it. I mean, what, this and now Soylent Green.
That's a good reason to know your local farmer.
Or become your local farmer.
Or if you just absolutely refuse to be... become like or grow anything, support your local farmer, support the people that are doing it, and they'll keep doing it. I got one from the big red freak. Amazing episode. You didn't have any obligation to share that, but it was incredibly moving. Praying for you guys as always, telling everyone about your pimp cast. Thank you for all you do, you and your family do. Sorry, the print on the fountain app is small, so guys at the editing place, if you guys can make that bigger, That'd be cool.
Seems like they're very responsive. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what episode he's talking about, but man, I do appreciate the fact.
Maybe it was the video.
Well, whatever the case may be, you know, hey, y'all, for this thing to really grow the way we need it to, tell everybody. If you see any value in what we're doing, if we made you laugh, if we made you think, I'm going to take a page out of Andy Frisella's book.
Yep.
You know, we have advertisers. I mean, he doesn't. I'm not beholden to anybody.
Well,
any advertiser that tries to tell me what I can and can't say won't be an advertiser.
Maybe that's a reason to make it a video, video pimp cast. So if we put it on a video streaming service, that will promote it to people, which will in turn bring in new subscribers. Because the issue with the podcast, y'all, is that it doesn't promote like podcasts to anybody. Not really. Like Apple has its own podcast like background or support. So they're only going to promote their own podcast. They're not going to promote anybody else's. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just still reluctant in doing any of that because I mean the truth of it is
we're going to have to come in a lot less dirty or maybe not. No.
I don't know.
Come in dirty.
Son, I'm a big fan of I love the radio medium. I've always been a big fan. When your mom and I first got married, we would always listen to like Focus on the Family and stuff like that. And plus, I was stationed in Colorado at one point. And that's where Focus on the Family was. But also, I really got into those old-timey radio shows where it's like theater of the mind. You have to imagine this whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's the way this form has always been to me. And I'm kind of reluctant. Now, my daughter-in-law did buy me this awesome sign back here.
Yeah, that it is seems a neon like, pimp cast sign.
Yeah, it almost seems like we got to be
straight
using
from
it.
Bangladesh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I got to be using that thing, but it's... Yeah, I'm still reticent in doing a live
visual
version of it.
It doesn't have to change anything. We just record literally what we're doing right this second for the only reason to show people that we have a pimp cast.
Well, I have to give it some thought. All right. Yeah. So Stephanie had a question here. She says, "And we bought a few pints of your bone sauce. Is it already diluted or do we have to dilute it with oil? If so, what's the proper ratio?" Okay, well, we send it to you. I mean, the regular bone sauce recipe is good. It's really good. We make it like twice, maybe five times stronger.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very, very, very potent. Now, Sepp Holzer, who initially brought this to the world's attention, as I understand it, said you can cut it with 50% animal fat. We don't do that. I leave it strong. You can do that according to him, but I've never felt the need to do. Well, I did do that early on.
Well, we also have heavy deer pressure too.
Yeah.
So like it might be depending on your needs.
Yeah.
We don't really know. Some deer are more persistent. Some deer, like you put it on a tree and it just like the deer are gone forever. So it really just depends on how persistent your deer are.
Yeah. It's going to take some doing, but man, we got one guy asking if we can send an entire pallet. I mean, he's asking
to
for
where?
Like, somewhere in Europe. I want to say, I'll get to that email in a minute.
International shipping.
Yeah, man. I don't even know how that's going to be received.
We're going to send a black liquid to almost war zone.
Well, yeah, the point of it being, I mean, the stuff works, and a lot of people are asking about it, by the way.
Yeah.
And I have got to be able to have really good weather to do this, and I'm not going to rush it. This thing is a very long process, very laborious process. I cannot rush it. I will not do it, and I will not. I mean, there are times it just doesn't work out, and you have to be very attentive. The method we have is very precise. And I can't rush it. I'm not going to put out anything I'm not proud of. And
I wonder how much he's going to sell it for.
I don't know. He's apparently going to make a fortune. You're asking me for 20 gallons of it or 20 liters of it. I mean, man, this stuff is, it's hard to get a pint out of this thing, man. He doesn't realize how many animals got to go down for that.
Yeah, there's a reason that we sell it in 4 and 8 ounce jars and 16 ounce jars.
Yeah, this stuff is very difficult to make, and a lot of people have wanted it, and frankly, we're out right now, but hopefully I'll have some by the end of the week. We'll see how the weather goes.
Yeah.
This one here. Hi, Billy. Thanks for answering my question about the apple trees. I'll definitely look into overgrafting. I have a thought for the pimp cast, and I never heard it addressed in the preparedness community about laser eye surgery and lens implants means for prepping, especially people that have bad eyesight. This could be a lifesaver. Glasses or contacts could get lost or damaged. You know, I never once thought about anything like that, but I don't know about the long... I mean, I'm sure there are long-term studies at this point on laser eye surgery, but I frankly don't know much about it. But honestly, man, you talk about thinking outside the box. And then he also says, P.S., if the chicken tractor resolves all chicken ailments... like you mentioned in the pimp cast, maybe we should come up with a human tractor as opposed to a hamster.
It's called farming.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of that's probably just getting your hands down in the soil. But yeah, that thing about the eyes, I'll be honest with you, I have never given that a serious thought.
Yeah,
but man, you talk about, boy, this guy could definitely solve problems coming up with stuff like that.
I got one from an anonymous user and a whole bunch of numbers. Hashtag tip a pimp. Hello from North Arkansas. I have a comfort story too. When I was a kid, my aunt broke her leg. She was in a cast for months, but it wasn't healing. The doctors wanted to go in and screw the bone together. She refused and went to the health food store. They had her take high calcium herbs, which actually didn't fix her leg, but caused kidney stones. Finally, she was told about Comfrey. So they opened the cast, started to use a Comfrey poultice on the leg, and it quickly healed after that. Oh, it's Ashley.
Which Ashley?
I don't know. It just says Ashley at the end. So their name was Ashley. Yeah, there we go.
Well, you know, we had that
lady. That's pretty cool. Man, I mean, it's called nip bone. Like, that is the, that's the popular use for it in the South.
Yeah, during the Civil War. I mean, that, it was used to knit bone together. I mean, that lady that sent that picture of her dog.
that cracks me up still. That's what the mom would do.
Oh, my goodness, man. I mean, man, you talk about an awesome story right there, man. That's, you know, her dog was in a bad way, put that on her dog, and that's why.
Was it the dog's leg?
Yeah, the dog had a broken leg, and she put a poultice on there, and next thing you know, this little puppy's out for a walk. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, this is what I'm talking about, y'all. There's so many things. This is why I brought up the whole urotherapy thing in the very beginning. Is I really believe the answer to every single ailment, problem, whatever, is right there in front of us. It's just a matter of finding what it is. And it doesn't mean, I don't believe, going to a pharmaceutical company. I'm not saying that those things aren't needed in certain areas. I mean, if you're type 1 diabetic, you're going to need something.
Yeah.
And maybe there is a solution in nature. I would almost bet that there is. We just probably don't know what it is right now. Got one here from Karen. I'd love for you to dive deeper into how and where you use the water several times before it gets into the septic tank. Okay, so in our house, I mean...
Well, it could be used even more if you didn't have a septic tank, which will make sense in a minute.
Well, Sam, why don't you go ahead and describe that? Because in a traditional house, in our house right now, we have got to divert the lines. Now, thankfully, we can actually access the things underneath everything. It, and that's actually on the list. And then when we move that washer and dryer out of where it is and ultimately get it into the garage, well, son, why don't you describe how it happens in an earthship?
Well, so, okay, so the earthship captures rain. So everything hits the roof, goes into the rainwater tanks, goes through your WOM, which is your water organizing module, which filters it to varying degrees depending on where it's going. Like your drinking tap line is going to be highly filtered, whereas your like kitchen sink or your bathroom sink might not be as filtered. But it's rainwater, so you're probably pretty good. So that's your first use. So after it goes through there, it's called gray water. If it's used through your kitchen sink, sometimes they consider that black water. It just kind of depends on what you're using it for. You can use the kitchen sink waste to feed worms. They used to use that. But you have to be careful with that. But so that's your first use. It goes into your second use, which goes into like in an earthship, it goes to your gray water bed, which waters your plants in the front of the greenhouse of the earthship. After that, those plants actually filter the water. That goes into the tank of your toilet, and you use that to flush your toilet. And then from there, it can go to a septic. It can go to feed, I mean, fodder trees. It can go to feed, I mean, whatever you want to do is up to you.
That's exactly why I want one of these, to really show how this thing ought to work in an entire permaculture landscape and how it can literally fit right into it. And then Karen and Bill also say, I know you're cutting back on participating in festivals. Well, that's only going to be until we get a lot of things squared away around here. And then we'll be back. We'll be back in the saddle again. Actually have one guy that runs a festival hang up on me because I told him I couldn't do it. I won't say who that is, but if I said his name, everybody would know. But the guy actually practically hung up on me when I said, hey, I can't do it right now.
You could probably guess.
Well,
just based on the temperament.
I'm not going to get into that. But she says, I hope you can still make it back to the land. Really hoping to do that myself. In fact, I'm going to have to because I am co-writing a book with Matt and Gabby right now. So, Matt, Back to the Land is likely going to be one of the only ones I'm going to do this year.
I got one from One Step Closer. Billy, righteous anger is nothing to be ashamed of. Keep up calling out evil. Maybe lead off good news, bad news segment with the Merle Haggard's fighting side of me.
Oh, yeah. I like the way this person rolls.
That's a One Step Closer. I don't know what song that is.
Getting on the fighting side, man. Yeah, that's a jam right there, man. all right, so we got one from my man Jason. Kentucky Sustainable Living. Y'all want to check him out?
He's got he's got the chicken tractor on meth.
The only man on planet Earth that has a meth tractor. So, I mean, you got to love
that. He's going to get swatted.
I just saw this one before the Pimpcast, so I'm sorry I won't be able to go into too much detail. He says, I just started clearing the woods at my house. What is the stuff that's good to plant for the pasture that will come up quickly and do good? It's in Zone 6B. He's got a video here I haven't had a chance to check it. When it really all depends on what you're going to be doing out there in that pasture.
Well, yeah, it depends on what you're going to do with the, I guess I'm assuming you're going to graze, but it kind of depends on how much sun that's getting. Like what was just there. And is that like for right now, or are you planning on seeding it right now?
That's why I'm saying, I mean, there's a whole lot. I mean,
yeah,
you could do the old Joel Salatin thing where just by just good management, the good stuff in the seed bank is going to pop up.
If you're going to graze it, you really could just do what Greg Judy does and roll out a whole bale of hay, run animals over the top of it, and grass will pop up after.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed. They're gonna eat, poop, and stomp it.
That's going to be the easiest way to get it down.
One of the fastest ways. Yeah, yep. Check out both of his books. I mean, everybody read everything you can get your hands on.
Also,
from Greg Judy.
One of the fastest ways is to build topsoil, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a derivation of Jeff Lawton's Instant Garden, if you stop to think about it.
It really is, yeah. And it's carbon, manure.
I thought Jeff was a little conservative, man, based on what we did that last year. I think, man, I could be out of school here, but in that area, in the areas where we did his method, which is essentially sheet mulching and everything, I would say we might have gained about a half inch of soil in those areas, and it is so much improved.
It builds quickly.
Yeah, it is incredible. So, yeah, there's a bunch of different methods out there. Once again, another person asking, can you advise when you expect to have more bone sauce? I'm hoping by the end of this week. I'm really, really hoping. I know a lot of people are asking for it. It's just been really, really tough right now, trying to get after that. You got anything more there, son?
That's it for me, Dan.
All right. Well, we got a whole lot of, we got a lot more going on here. And I know there's a lot of people with other questions out here. Let's see here. Okay, so we got this. Well, yeah, he's asking this guy here when we're going to have it back in stock. He's wanting to send. Wow, he's a Danish guy. That's where he wants me to send this thing.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, Denmark, man. So that's this stuff is people are starting to understand.
I wonder if he's trying to keep back reindeer over there or moose. Maybe. Did we ever find out if it works on moose?
No, I don't. We sent it up there and we never heard back. I mean, we sent it up there for free, I believe, and never did. It's funny.
Yeah, hey, y'all, if we send y'all a jar for free, you got to let us know how it works.
Yeah,
even
man.
Even if it fails, like, let us know.
Yeah, I want to know one way or the other, but, a lot of folks have sent it out to free. There was only one of them that ever got back to me. And
like, if it doesn't work on the moose, tell us, like, hey, they didn't care about it at all.
Yeah.
let us know.
Well, we got one from Kimberly, and I sent this over to your email because it's rather lengthy, so I can't get into it all.
Oh, yeah. You wanted to get into that one, Dad?
Well, no. I'm just going to kind of hit the highlights here.
The highlights are all capitalized for you.
Well, no. I think we're looking at two different ones here. This one, they're basically living down in South Carolina, and power company or whatever came out there, did a lot of damage. Rainstorm comes through. Good night, man. She sent me this video, and it's absolutely heartbreaking, man. It's just tearing up everything out there. And point being, she's asking if we could possibly check this stuff out. Look, if anybody needs any kind of consultation or anything like that, for the most part, we're up to our eyeballs.
Yeah.
And with so many things that we have going on. But if you want a person who is meticulous, thorough, learned, wicked smart, you want to check out Eric Sider. Really, you can check him out on YouTube. He's got plenty of links out there. That's really who you want to go to in terms of getting answers on some of that stuff. I mean, there might be some rare off chance that we could do it otherwise, but for the most part, it's really... No. Oh, okay. Yes. Sorry, y'all. We got a little sidetracked here. We have a weird email that came in, and we're just going to ignore this one. There's some folks out there that are off balance and everything. Anyway, you want to check out Eric if you're going to need any advice at all. He can help you out in the most massive way, either over the phone, maybe a video call. I'm sure he can work it out with you. Go check him out. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, definitely check him out. He can do amazing things over the computer.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be shocked at what he can do right there. And he's already helped out a great number of people.
Yeah,
and in fact,
have.
two of the people right behind this microphone right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's helped us out. Yeah,
he's kind of part of the reason we're here right now.
Yeah, he invented the permaculture pimp cast. That was his idea, and that's one of many brilliant ideas he's given us over the years.
Yeah.
So you want to definitely check him out. But, folks, I want to reemphasize one more time, you don't need to be an expert at anything. Just get out there and do it. Do it. Fail while daring greatly. And while you're doing it, until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.